generation, new experiences, and improving the experiences we already have. So before I start, has anyone deployed hybrid search scenarios with Office 365 and on-premises already in more than a test environment? None, no one. Okay, so we've got a handful that have done it in test. The experience, I guess most of you may have seen it though, the experience to date has been good. Primarily it's a good experience, but it's not perfect, it's not ideal. So over the course of the last kind of 12 to 18 months, the engineering team inside Microsoft, specifically inside a couple of core technologies, the FAST technology in Oslo, have invested significantly in improving hybrid configurations and changing fundamentally not just how it works for the on-premises scenario, but we've actually re-architected the whole of the way we actually do crawl in Office 365. Okay, apparently this isn't working, or is it battery? I can't remember what I said. Okay, thanks. So fundamentally, the Oslo team, which are the former FAST team, the search team in Office 365, have done an awful lot to re-engineer how we do crawling across, not just from an on-premises to Office 365 perspective, but we've re-architected the actual whole crawl environment in terms of Office 365 as well. And we'll see some of that as I go through some of the slides. So let me begin with a brief intro. My name is Neil Hodgkinson. I'm a program manager in the CAT team, the customer advisory team. If you were in the session previously, you saw Steve was delivering. He was formerly in that team as well. And we have a kind of shared responsibility to give our customers good experiences, listen to what our customers say, deliver that message to engineering, try and pound on engineering every now and again to get them to change something that our customers don't necessarily like. And as part of this session, I just want to call out special thanks to two people, Manas Biswas and Katrina Hammervold. Manas on the escalation engineering side, and Katrina, who was the primarily the PM that delivered this feature. So it's her vision and her responsibility that delivered this. So they're kind of special in terms of delivering this. So what we're going to cover, what is Office 365 hybrid? So I'm going to talk briefly about hybrid. I think over the last kind of 18 months, Microsoft has changed the vision on hybrid. We've modified what we think about it. We've modified the way we expect our customers to use it. So we're going to look at some of the brief things about how we can leverage hybrid and what hybrid actually means to us. And we're obviously keen to hear what it means to you. We're going to look at some of the benefits. So the change that we're going to talk about here, the change in the way we're doing search hybrid scenarios, can drive some key benefits to your organization. One of the key benefits is a significant cost reduction in on-premises from a SharePoint server licensing perspective, from a hardware deployment perspective, and from an operational manageability perspective. Search is one of the hardest things to maintain and manage in SharePoint. If you do SharePoint on-premises, you'll be aware of that. We want to take that away, not take it away from you, but give you an option to let us do all that work for you and significantly reduce what you need to do. I'm going to go fairly deep dive on how does the hybrid search crawl work. So we're going to go into the architecture of the crawl. We're going to look at the processes and how the crawl actually works and look at how we deploy it. Look at a few things about customization. What can I do with this thing? What does it give me in terms of look and feel and experiences? And then finally, obviously, you're going to want to know how you can get it. Hopefully the experience you're going to see is good enough and you're all going to want to be super excited, start jumping up and down and clapping and things at my demos that are all going to work superbly well. So to begin with, let's think about hybrid search. Hybrid search is driven from one key requirement. How can I find my stuff? If you're an on-prem SharePoint user, if you're an Office 365 user, most organizations that have Office 365 probably have SharePoint on-premises as well, certainly the larger organizations. So what we want to give you with hybrid search is the ability to find your information, to find your documents, to find information about people, regardless of where you're located. Right? I don't want my users to have to care whether they've navigated to an Office 365 site, whether they've navigated to an on-premises site. I want them to have the same experience. So when we think about that in terms of hybrid content, hybrid applications, hybrid information, as I said already, cloud, on-premises, and hybrid. Hybrid is where we want people to be working today, right? But hybrid means should be transparent to the end user, right? IT teams know about it. My business knows about it. My end users don't need to know. They just need to use it. And hopefully what we'll see here today is I'm going to show you some of the old way that the thing was delivered, and I'm going to show you the new way. And hopefully you'll see the way it changes. So all of you said, apart from a few people in the back who I would have expected to have tested this scenario, you've not seen hybrid scenarios with search. So I'm going to show you what it looks like in terms of the hybrid configuration. And typically what we had with hybrid was we had a scenario where you could do a query from your on-premises search center, and it delivered a set of results from your on-premises search index, and it delivered a set of results from your Office 365 search index, and it stacked them up in two blocks of separate result sets. No common relevancy, no common ranking algorithm, no common refinement mechanism. In fact, in this case, no refinement mechanism at all for the remote location. So it was a bit of a disjointed experience, and one that our customers basically said, we don't like that. Okay, it's nice, it works, but we don't like it. We want to have a unified experience. We want to have a simple mechanism that gives us relevancy, ranking, refinement across the entire result set, whether it's in Office 365 or on-premises. And one of the other downsides to this solution was, I'm moving into a hybrid configuration, but I still have to host an entire search topology on-premises. I need an entire set of components, of crawlers, of query processors, of indexers, and I can't get away from that when I'm using the old-style hybrid configuration. So to begin with, rather than tell you all about what we've done, I'm going to show you what we've done so you can see the difference, and then I'm going to show you how we did it. Okay? So we'll try and work through that. Hopefully it'll drive a few questions out of you. So let me drop to a different machine. Okay, so what I'm going to show you is the traditional experience, what we have today. Well, what we have for a few more days. This is an environment, sharepoint.nelimo.com is an on-premises search center. And I'm issuing a star query, okay, the most expensive query you can possibly submit, get me everything. And what we see is this disjointed experience. On the top of the screen there, up here, you can see this result block, and that's delivering results. If you look at the URL here, I think I've got, nelimo.com.sharepoint.com is an Office 365 tenant, and I'm retrieving a result block from that tenancy and displaying it at the top of the set. Now, that result block is not ranked with the rest of the results that you see below that. They're coming from the local search index. So I've got two discrete sets of information. Also, that top block you can see there is not influenced at all by the refiners you see on the left-hand side. Or it isn't influencing the refiners, and the refiners, if I start to filter on those refiners, they have no influence on that result block. So it's that disjointed experience. If I go to a new search center using the new technology and issue the same query, over on a SharePoint 16 search center. Now this search center is configured with the new hybrid configuration. What we see is a different experience. Okay, we now have a single set of results. If you look at the URLs, are they visible? I need to put, no, okay, bear with me. Let me find, zoom it. Okay, it's stuck in a zip. Come on. My machine's not playing. Okay, bear with me. Let me find zoom it. So this is a super fast machine that isn't playing very well. At all. Okay, let me get that in a minute. So, here we go. There we go. Okay, back to the demo. Go away. It will work. Okay, there we go. So what we can see here, if you look at the two side by side, thank you for your patience, is the URLs, we've got the block of one set of URLs, we have the list at the bottom of the second set of URLs on the left, on your left-hand side. On the other side, over here, We have a single set of results coming from multiple locations. So we now have on-premises information, Office 365 information. The on-premises information is coming from file shares, from SharePoint 2010, from 13, from 16, from any supported SharePoint content source. And it's displayed as a single set of results. And it's a single set of results, which means the relevancy and ranking is combined. And it also means that the filters, the refiners on the left-hand side, are active across the entire result set. So it's a unified index experience. It's what people have been asking for a long, long time. Very, very different. If you're not coming from the scenario where you've used the old experience, it might not be quite the dramatic impact it is for the customers that have had that previous experience. But this was a massive change, an enormous step change in the way we delivered hybrid search. So with that, let me show you how we built it. Okay. So this is what we built to do these demos with. And the scenario here is, when I come to show you the second demo, we've used multiple search configurations. So we have this new search capability is delivered in the August CU for SharePoint 2013, so you can have it now. And we're delivering it in SharePoint 2016 as well. The demo that I'm going to show you both previously and in the next demo is we've also taken this to the next stage in that because it's a search service application, and as such a service application much like any other in SharePoint, we can do cross-farm publishing. We can do consumer publishing scenarios. So we've enabled a feature here that allows us to do hybrid search with SharePoint 2010, as well as SharePoint 2013 and SharePoint 2016. So it's kind of opening up the kind of new way of allowing people who haven't yet got to SharePoint 2013, who are not ready to deploy SharePoint 2010, to start to think about having hybrid configurations as well. So it kind of opens up the new thing. And regardless of where the user is, and as you'll see in the next demo, they get the same set of results. So I'm going to show you a query we're going to do, which will give us exactly the same result set, whether I'm on Office 365, whether I'm on SharePoint 2010, SharePoint 2013, or SharePoint 2016. Same results, same sorting method, same sorting approach, same ranking, same relevancy across the whole board. And we'll see that in a minute. And that means that our hybrid gorilla, if you've only seen any of my hybrid sessions before, we have a hybrid gorilla that usually hates me because I do things wrong. In this case, our hybrid gorilla now loves us because he has a good experience. So what does it actually mean then in terms of the search experience for our end users? It basically means I can search from anywhere. If you remember the premise of hybrid, users don't need to know where they are. They don't need to be concerned with where they are. So I can search anywhere. I can search on premises, search centers. I can search at site level. I can search at list level, get the same experience. There's another scenario. We can hopefully enable this for Delve as well. So the Office graph can be populated with information driven by search. And in a later demo, hopefully I'll be able to show you the Delve experience. And the key thing is, as well as enabling the search scenario, it means we can also now start to experience things like search previews and search capabilities from content regardless of where we are. So in Office 365, I can get search previews, video previews, document previews from my on-premises content when I'm hosted in Office 365 as well, all by leveraging this feature. So in terms of benefit, I mentioned costs and things before. If we consider a scenario here, Contoso, you know, fictitious organization, they have a number of environments on-premises today. They have file shares, they have SharePoint 2013 content, they have SharePoint 2010 content, and they're using a SharePoint 2013 search service application. Not an uncommon scenario. That search service application is crawling all of these repositories, and they use the search service application to deliver results to end users. That's fine, but that means they have to deploy a full search service application on premises. As an example, 14 application servers, 4 content servers, and 10 search servers is just a stick in the air to say what you might deploy to configure this. And it gives us a benchmark whereby we can start to think about what it means as we start to reduce that infrastructure requirement. So let's say Contoso then decide they're going to move some of that content to Office 365. Okay, so say that they move their search forum, they move their one, or they start to adopt OneDrive. They still have content on premises, but now what it means is they can start to reduce those number of servers. So now we've reduced our servers a little bit, we're leveraging two scenarios, and because we have SharePoint on premises, SharePoint in Office 365, we can configure that first hybrid scenario between the two. So we've reduced our infrastructure requirements a tiny bit, not a lot. What if we go to the next stage then? The next stage is to deploy what we call the Cloud Search Service application. This is the one we're going to talk about today. The Cloud Search Service application allows me to pretty much do away with my on-premises search infrastructure. All I need is an instance of each component, but I don't use them all. So if you're familiar with search and the components you require, the six components you require to deploy search on-premises, now what we're saying is, you still need those components, but we don't need enormous index capacity now. We don't need tons of database storage to store all of the information that's required by the search service. Instead, we use this thing called the Cloud Search Service application. And what that actually does is, when it's crawling content, instead of feeding on-premises content processors and feeding the on-premises search index, it's effectively diverting that feed to a service hosted in Azure that we'll talk about later, where a service in Azure where some additional processing takes place, and then that feeds the Office 365 search index to give you that single unified search index approach. Okay, and it's fairly straightforward, actually. Fundamentally quite straightforward. There's a few things we need to do to make it work, though. From an on-premises perspective, we need to go through a few prerequisites, and we need to set this thing up. We need to configure our farm to support this requirement, but it's very straightforward. So we're going to talk about these things, what the application is, we'll talk about the crawling architecture, some things about security and identity. Obviously, a critical piece in terms of when we're thinking about search is the concept of security trimming. We don't want to deliver results that, you know, we shouldn't be able to see. And then we're going to look at some scenarios where we can use the old approach and the new approach when we have some specific security requirements. So we'll go through these in a few moments. If we think about the prereqs, so none of you have done hybrid search before or configured hybrid scenarios. Any of you done hybrid BCS? No? Okay, so right from the beginning. What do we need to do hybrid? Initially, obviously, you need a 365 tenant. You need a subscription. It needs to include SharePoint. These hybrid scenarios work with any subscription that has SharePoint. You don't need E3s and E4s. You know, Pro Plus will work with OneDrive. That's all you need to make this scenario work. You need to do dir sync. If you've got Office 365 tenancy today, you're probably familiar with this process, using your favorite dir sync tool, whichever version of it you may have, AD Connect or dir sync. That gives us the basic premise to be able to do things like security trimming, to be able to do authentication in the cloud. The next thing we need to do is deploy our search service. Now, SharePoint Cloud Search Service application will support any content source that's currently supported by SharePoint. So things like file shares, SharePoint 2007, websites, 2010, 2013, we can cover all of those things. We can even do BCS connectors. So if you can do it in search today, you can do it with hybrid as well. And then we deploy this thing called the search service application. To all intents and purposes, it looks no different to a regular search service application. I'm going to show you that in a few minutes. And then the final thing is, if I want to expose these previews, if I want to show previews of my content from on-premises into Office 365, I need to have some way of publishing my WAC outbound URLs or publishing my WAC server so that I can make those calls down onto my on-premises WAC, and vice versa, of course. Okay. But that's all we need. There's nothing fundamentally difficult with that. You don't need to deploy loads of ADFS servers. You don't need, critically don't need, a reverse proxy, which is a big blocker in some of our current inbound scenarios, where people have to deploy reverse proxy infrastructure to republish things. I only need that if I want to do the WAC experience. Okay? Other than that, I don't need it. In terms of deployment, very straightforward. It looks and feels exactly like a search service application, a regular one, and it has one key property change that's different. This property is cloud index equal to, and it's true, and it's just a property on the search service application. How do we build it? You can only build it through PowerShell, so we'll provide you with some sample scripts, and you can download them from Connect now, actually. And then the second thing you need is this concept of what we call onboarding. So because you've not gone through the hybrid scenario before previously, when we do hybrid configuration, we have to establish a trust with Office 365. That allows us to issue tokens, and therefore we can do things like authentication. We can send a query on behalf of the user. We can do what we call user rehydration to be able to do things like the security trimming processes. But it enables us that the Office 365 farm is going to accept an incoming query from our on-premises farm because we've established this trust. In basic terms, the onboarding process, the onboarding script that we provide, will give you all of that configuration piece, and critically another piece. So I mentioned a service that's running in Azure, and one of the things that we do with this process is we have to fundamentally establish two trusts, if you like, or establish connectivity to two scenarios. One to Office 365 for query federation, and one to this Azure Trust for the crawl experience, and I'll show you that in a few minutes. And that's it. In the future, if you've ever seen a session, Marnie did a session at Ignite in Chicago, where he talked about hybrid futures and hybrid pickers. And the ideal scenario here is we don't give you a script to run. You log into your Office portal, you select the hybrid page, you choose the app that will configure this for you, and that's it, done. There's no PowerShell script to run. That's a future stage. Right now we're in the land of PowerShell scripts, which is fine for me, because that works fine. It's about the most development I can do. The piece we have to connect to in terms of Azure is the, what we call the SCS, so it's the Search Connector Service. And it's this piece which is the most critical piece. This is what you're onboarding to. It's a man in the middle, if you like, between on-premises and between Office 365. It's very straightforward. It allows us to influence what's going into the search index in Office 365. It will ultimately allow us to do things like make influence to the Office graph, if you've seen Delve and those kind of experiences. Not only will this give us the ability to put search content in Office 365, but to start to influence those signals that are being sent to the Office graph as well, to influence your Delve experiences. The key critical thing it does, your crawlers on premises communicate with this service, and they send information to content processors in Azure, and that's fundamentally all it needs to do. The trust that's established obviously means that your crawlers are trusted to make that connection, and then when your crawlers feed information into this service, it's fed under the context of your tenant, so we know where it needs to be routed to in Office 365 Search Index. One of the other things around this service is, because it's a service hosted in Azure and it's been fed your content, it stores that content, so it allows us to do things like, you know, what if we have a search problem in Office 365 and I want to recrawl with this scenario? The last thing I want to have to do is call up a customer and say, can you just run a new crawl on premises so we can refeed our search index? This gives us the ability to recrawl without you even being concerned about it. So you'll see this in the architecture diagram in a few minutes. So let me just show you a little bit about the cloud service application, and then we'll look at an actual crawl scenario. So let me show you that user experience as I mentioned before. If I go to here, and we'll start with this environment. So I said already, we can crawl or we can have query experiences across different environments and get the same set of results. If I come in here and do my star query, this is my SharePoint 2013 Cloud SSA. So this is a SharePoint 2013 server on-premises that's been configured with this new feature. And fingers crossed, I get results sets back. So I can see multiple results in here, 2010, 2013. I can do the same thing in 2010 because I've got that cross-farm publishing scenario. So we still have a lot of customers running SharePoint 2010 on-premises. Many of you may well do that. And you can get this experience by using SharePoint 2010 as well. It's a bit slow, but we'll get there eventually. Let me go and do another query. This is a tenant. This is the tenant that this environment's connected to. We'll just fire all these things off. They're going to take a few minutes to come back. And then a subsite of 16 as well. If we do the same query, there's our Office 365. It's the same overall result set. I've filtered here just on Office 365 content. If I change that, this is running really slow, to everything. So one of the things we're going to talk about later is about customization, how we can restrict what comes back from the search index. If I change this to be an everything search, look at these two results here, team site, SharePoint portal, SharePoint enterprise portal again, 13, 10, and online. If I go to my other search result, 13, 10, and online. So from two different environments, one SharePoint 2010, one SharePoint 2013, I get the same result set back. And this is the key driver. This is what we're trying to achieve with this entire feature. Same with 2010, 13, 10, online. It's the same experience across the whole set. We can even, because this feature works for SharePoint 2010, I can even go down here, if I do a quick query for me, it even works at the site level. So we're all the way down inside the SharePoint 2010 infrastructure. Is anyone running SharePoint 2010 on premises today? So there's a few of you. Most of you SharePoint 13 or not running SharePoint at all. Who's Office 365 only? Good. You can stay then in that case. Okay. So say you get the same experience. So I've done a quick query and I'm seeing now down into my actual site level. So the query experience, even without a local search index, is absolutely fantastic in terms of what we're seeing from a relevancy perspective. The same results everywhere. And then again, in Office 365, the same set, 13, 10, and my Office 365 query. So it's a remember what the original premise was to allow our users not to care where they are, not to have to be bothered whether they're logged into a team site in off SPO or a team site in on-premises. And this gives them that capability. So what I'm going to do is, just to prove it all works, and it's not just smoke and mirrors, I'm going to upload a document from, let's grab that one. Great. Bear with me. Let's put it in here. So we'll upload a document to 2010 and we'll initiate a crawl. And then we'll talk about the architecture, what's actually going on with the crawl. And I should have chosen a smaller document. But. Give it a second. This is the risk of... relying on your SharePoint application pools. So just to prove it actually works, someone give me a name, give me a word, anything you like. Someone.
Congrate.
Say again.
Congrate.
Can you spell it?
Azure.
Azure. Okay, Azure, there we go. So we have Azure. Let's upload this to here. No, cancel. Let's go into here. If I can remember how SharePoint 2010 works, I'll upload the document. And we'll kick off a crawl. And then we'll go look at what the crawl's doing. So I'm going to crawl this. I've got two search service applications here. I've got a 16 search service application and a 13 one. Because the 16 one's obviously not available yet, I'm going to show you this being crawled through the 13 one. So if I log on to my SharePoint 2013 search service, go to my Cloud SSA, we can see our content sources here. And all I should have to do to make this work is go to my content sources. If my central admin warms up. Start crawling. There we go. I'll do an incremental. It'll be easier. Okay, so that's going to start a crawl. That should go and find that new document, and we should obviously be able to see that, and we should be able to find that document everywhere. We've uploaded it to 2010. We should hopefully be able to find it in 13, in 10, in Office 365. Okay, that's the kind of premise of this scenario. But what's actually going on behind the scenes? This is where things get important. So in terms of what's going on here, the crawling architecture is critical. So if you look at on the left-hand side of the slide, Azure Active Directory, DirSync, and on-premises Active Directory. So that's what we do all the time when we have Office 365 tenant. Nothing new there. The key piece is the bit at the bottom. So the cloud search service application, the crawler that we've just initiated, is crawling that content, and it's going to feed this service that's hosted in Azure. And the service is what we call the SCS. It's the Search Connector service. That contains four key components, or does four key things. The first thing it does, it has a queue, so it receives your content. It then passes that content into a blob store for crawling purposes. There's a content processor up there that's going to process that content. And then finally, there's a piece we do where we map the ACLs from that content that's being received to the ACLs that are in your Azure Active Directory to make sure we can map those users and make sure we can do that security trimming piece effectively. And then the final piece is we transfer that past content, that mapped content into the SharePoint Online Search Index. It's a very, very simple scenario, but very, very complex to implement. And I mentioned that we've...
Who owns the Azure piece? Is that in your subscription?
Okay. So the question is, who owns the Azure piece? And that's Microsoft managed, right? You don't need to care what that does. The only thing you need to care about is what you have on your on-premises server, the cloud search service application.
So we're not paying anything for that?
You are not paying anything for that piece. And as of right now, from a payment perspective, this service is delivered as part of your subscription. There's no additional fee for this, right? So you don't have to buy this as an additional add-on to Office 365. You get this out of the box regardless of your subscription. In terms of what I said about we've re-architected search to support this scenario, so the search service connector, or the search connector service, is used not only by on-premises, but we also use it in our Office 365 crawlers as well. So everything channels through this service. And that gives us the ability then so that we can do mapping for your tenant so that when we crawl information, we can do things like assign each piece of information a unique document ID, make sure that the information that we're crawling from on-premises is assigned to the correct tenant and goes to the correct search index. So it's a fundamental re-architecture of search in terms of SPO to make that work. The piece in the middle with the external and internal endpoints is the Azure service. So the external endpoint is the one you connect to from on-premises. The internal endpoint is the one we connect to from our SPO farms. It's a very fundamental change in how we do crawling. So what do we actually transmit? The things we transmit is obviously document ACLs, what's actually being used to represent the security on that document, you know, the permissions on that document. We transmit the keywords, if you like, so there's some transformation that takes place on premises to convert this document that we're crawling, that PowerPoint document I just uploaded then, to convert it into a bunch of keywords, into metadata. We transfer your tenant information. The tenant information is done as part of the registration process. We need to make sure this content ends up in the right tenancy or is associated with your tenant. And then there's this concept of analytics. So little bits of information about things like who's doing queries, top queries, that kind of information. And hopefully that will become a richer experience going forward where we can start to pick up things to influence the Office Graph. That's wrapped in a batch. It's encrypted using an encryption key that's supplied as part of the onboarding process. That's downloaded from the service when you onboard. So we encrypt the package and we send it over a secure connection to Azure as well. So it's a very, 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 very secure mechanism for sending your information over the internet. It then hits Azure, as you can see already, we've seen that piece where we index Azure, hits the indexing API, and then it's ultimately transferred to the SPO search index. So it's a very, very simple process. And we do it in batches. We don't have to crawl all of your content and then try and stuff it all up in there in one big go. We do it in batches, so it's a pulsed process. We can get telemetry back to say whether a particular batch failed, and we can do retry and all that kind of thing. It's a very, very robust process. Other things we can do for testing it, once we've actually got this thing configured and got it working, we will publish information about how to look in ULS in your on-premises farm, how you can trace this thing with Fiddler. It's a bit too deep to go into in this session, and we don't really have enough time. But there's another key feature as well. We add a new managed property called isExternalContent. And that allows us to differentiate when we're doing queries between what's on-premises and what's in Office 365, or where the content has come from. Remember when I did that first query on Office 365, it showed me SharePoint Online content only. Then I clicked the everything vertical, and it showed me then everything. The online-only one was restricting where is external content not equal one. Okay, so I was filtering away, and I'll show you some of that in the customization piece. The other thing we can do is, we can obviously use the REST API as well. So we can hit the search REST API endpoints and filter that information out as well. So there's a number of ways to validate that your actual implementation is working, not least of which is just to go to SharePoint Online and query. Okay, and you'll get some response back. So with that, let's go and see if that crawl's actually completed. And hopefully it has. Let's check. Yep, so the crawl's done. I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm not going to check the crawl log. I'm going to assume it's there. I'm going to go to SharePoint Online. No, let's do it here. So we should now have pushed that content all the way through to SharePoint Online search index. So if I search in here for Azure, I might find some other documents. That might completely lie to me. come on. Why have I got, oh, okay. So we've seen a result block there, but that's a result block of PPT documents. And I'm going to check the crawl log because this doesn't appear to have worked, which is a pain. Let me go and have a good look. Oh no, there you go, we did crawl it. So let's check it's actually there. There, okay, it is the right document. There, so it's SP2010, shared documents, azure.pptx. So it was a successful crawl. So we've pushed that document from SharePoint 2010, crawled by SharePoint 2013 Cloud SSA, into the Office 365 search index. And I should be able to find that anywhere, okay? I'm querying in SPO there. What if I go back down to SharePoint on-prem, look at SharePoint 2010? You should get exactly the same experience. If my servers all keep moving. Yep, there we go. So regardless of where that document is, and I could have put that in a file share, equally the same, and it would have been the same experience. The other thing we can do is, what about Delve? So if I log into Delve here, go to my page. Now, Delve does take a little while to populate, okay? So we're not going to see this influence straight away in Delve because no one's interacted with it. There's no user information. There's no insights. There's no edges to actually for Delve to pick up on. But what I should be able to do is find it, he says. And there we go. There's our document. So I can add this to a board. I can't spell, it doesn't matter. And there's our azure.pptx document. So with that one simple scenario, I've taken a document from SharePoint 2010 all the way through into the Office, well, not quite into the Office graph, but to the search experience inside Delve as well. And now I can start to see rich experiences around there. So ultimately, if we waited some time, we'd see that populate automatically. Okay, Barry's question? Yeah, so the question is, where is the indexing done, fundamentally? Yeah, so all of the indexing takes place in Office 365. There's no requirement to run content processors, index servers, all on-premises anymore. You need them, but they don't do anything. Okay, you must have those components on-premises to be able to activate the search topology, but they no longer do anything. There's basically a plugin in the crawler that diverts everything to Office 365, and all of the content processing takes place up there, which is critical when we come to look at some of the other scenarios. So that worked, that was great. Because you haven't seen the old experience, you don't kind of appreciate how great that is. Otherwise, I assure you, you'd all be like standing up going like this, but we'll put that down to. So that's a basic demo of the Cloud SSA, okay? When you start to think about what that means for on-premises customers to be able to forget managing search, more or less. Okay, let Office 365 do it. In fact, that whole search service in Office 365 is managed by the people that wrote the product. They're responsible for managing it, they're responsible for maintaining it and running it. So the right people are running with that thing. When we then start to look at what we can actually do with this and how does it perform, so one of the key questions we tend to get is, how fast can I index? How much bandwidth do I need to push all my content up there? And it generally, it's going to depend on lots of things. So what we're really driving for is low latency, high bandwidth, okay, which is a very simple statement to make, not the simplest scenario to try and achieve. What you can do here is, I was talking to a fairly large global customer about this service last week, and one of the things that they want to be able to do is push this content from all over the globe into their tenant. So you're not restricted now to one search service application in one location within your business, feeding Office 365. If I'm a multinational business and I have SharePoint farms around the globe, they can all feed the same tenant wherever they're located. And that was a kind of an accidental discovery that we weren't anticipating that one. But it does mean it's a really super efficient process because instead of having to have a farm in the US that's crawling another farm in Asia that's then pushing content up to Office 365, I can have both of those farms pushing content at the same time. And because of the architecture of the Search Crawl, the Search Connector service, it doesn't matter about things like clashes and crawling two farms doing a crawl, because the SCS is a single service for your entire tenant. Okay, so it's a single entity that's controlling that crawl. When we start to look at performance, some of the things we want to look at, we went through a TAP program. We had about 17 ISVs, partners, and some customers involved. And we looked through how do we improve the process that we have for this capability. Now, what we saw with some of the TAP customers was relatively low speeds. 5 documents per second is quite low from a search crawl perspective. Certainly on premises, if you're used to looking at metrics for on-premise crawlers, where you're typically looking for 50 plus, okay, sometimes higher than that, this is relatively low. But there's been a huge amount of optimization done in the service since then. So the actual rate of ingestion of documents, the capability has been widened significantly. The Azure service has been scaled up. Instead of going to a service per farm, we now have a service per region, which is massively scaled. And we're significantly higher rates into the tens, into the 20s, into the hundreds and thousands of documents per second as a regional service. And we have no reason not to expect that. The key thing we need to know is when you're crawling from on-premises to Office 365, you need to make sure you have efficient network latency. Okay, if your latency is poor, if your Office 365 experience is poor today, then this is not going to help it, right? You're going to suffer the same thing. So talk to your ISP, go and look at some of the presentations at Ignite from Chicago, specifically presentations by a guy called Paul Collinge and Phil Newman, who talk a lot about improving the service of managing the network infrastructure between you and Office 365. There's a ton of stuff you can do. So if you have a poor experience, talk to us. We can help. But latency is the rate determining step. And then there's some counters. So if you're concerned about you having some problems with this service, if you want to check the batch rate, if you want to check your failure rate, so every time you crawl with this capability, you send a signal to Azure to say, here's a batch. You send the batch, and Azure will respond back to say, batch received successful, batch crawled successful. So you can use these performance counters to monitor that and work out what's going on. And there's a whole bunch of them. Most of them probably mean not a lot to anybody, but some of them are particularly useful. The other thing we mentioned was about security. So one of the things that people always ask us about hybrid is, how do I know that you can security trim effectively? So the way we do it today is very straightforward. Azure Active Directory synchronization pushes your UPN up to Office 365. When you query from on-premises, we send your UPN claim to Office 365. We match the two together. They match the ACL on the object, and therefore we're good. We can security trim the item. As things change with hybrid, we need to look a bit beyond that. So one of the problems we've had with some of our customers is, and I was talking to someone today who's doing this, their UPN doesn't necessarily match their UPN or the email address, perhaps, that they want to log into Office 365 as. If you consider my identity, for example, at Microsoft, I'm Neil H at europe.corp.microsoft.com. It's a mouthful. I don't want to log into Office 365 with that. I just want to log in my email address, keep things simple. That represents some problems, because when I do a query against Office 365, it's not my email address that's being sent as a claim. It's my UPN context from my Windows login, right, which has the europe.corp.microsoft.com scenario. That means if I'm syncing my email address as part of the DIRSync process, so I can log on with a short name, a simple scenario, rather than my very long Windows context UPN, I'm breaking the security trimming capability. So my UPN of neilh.microsoft.com that I'm using for logon doesn't match my real UPN, and it fails. And that's a real problem for a lot of our customers, and we're getting a lot more and more people asking about how they can get around that. And there are ways and means to do it. With this new feature, we've changed this dramatically, such that we don't match on UPN anymore. Or we do. We do a soft match on UPN, and if that matches, that's great. What we also do is, as part of the DIRSync process now, we transmit your SID. Okay, so your on-premises SID, transmitted through DIRSync, goes up to Office 365, and the SID also goes in the context of the query, so we make that match between your real UPN and your SID, which means we can then match at the SID level for security trimming. You can't really get more secure than that, okay? So it works just fine. But this is a new property that we've added to DIRSync. So when you do a DIRSync, when this property gets activated, you'll probably see everybody gets synced just as this property goes up, just for a bit of information. But it means it opens up hybrid scenarios, not just for search, but for other things as well. It now means that Office 365 knows my SID. That means I can use that SID for other single sign-on scenarios as well. If I have other applications in the cloud, maybe applications running in Azure, and I want to use SID as my security token or my security identifier. So it's just a change to what you may be used to today. So in terms of security and identity, you can't really stress it enough. You know, we have people trying to hack this process all the time, both internal Microsoft people and external people, I'm sure, try it all the time. The key thing is we know this works. We know it's foolproof. Like, you can't spoof this, okay? There's a challenge. Anyone wants to try it, let me know. If you break it, let me know, okay? So you will always only get the things you have access to. So whether it's on-premises content secured in a file share that you don't have access to but somebody else does, they'll find it and you won't. So we respect that security configuration. In terms of security and identity, the thing to think about is when I log on, my token that gets sent to Office 365 is always going to be my Windows token, right? It doesn't matter what's in the user profile service from a SharePoint perspective, okay, because we ignore that, because the user profile service data can be manipulated on premises. Okay, we always use the context that you've logged on to the local machine with, and that's critical, because that we know that's definitely you. As we start to think about query then, from an architectural perspective, there's a number of ways to do query federation on premises. There's a number of ways to do query federation through the search service application or query federation directly from a site collection to Office 365. And it's unfortunate that not many of you have actually configured hybrid query federation before. But the key way we want people to do it, or we like to think people will do it by default, is they'll do query federation from the cloud search service application to SharePoint Online. So what does that mean? Basically means when I'm running the cloud search service application, my default result source, my default source of search results, is connected to Office 365. So when I, as a user, issue a query, it hits the cloud search service application. There is no local index, so there's nothing to query. Instead, it goes out to Office 365 and it pulls the results in, much as we saw in the UI a few minutes ago. When we pull those results down, we trim them out, we get the right, or they're pre-trimmed before they arrive, and the users get the same query. So in this scenario here, with this user called Jaden, she sends a query in, the query goes out with her claims, query is security trimmed, and the results come back, regardless of where the content's coming from, right? We know already it's gonna work just fine. There are other scenarios though as well. Not every customer wants to punt all of their information up into Office 365 from a search perspective. People have information they can't do that with. There might be patriot reasons why they can't do it, regional boundaries, compliancy reasons why certain sites can't exist in Office 365, which is why you haven't gone to Office 365 in the first place. So we have to be careful that we also give people options here. And we need to give you the option to restrict, to not crawl certain sites, but to still be able to find that information. So what we can do from a query perspective is, or from a search perspective is, we can run with two search service applications. So instead of getting rid of all of your search infrastructure on premises, you can dramatically reduce it, allowing you to crawl smaller repositories on premises, perhaps more secure repositories, but you can also then have the combined query federation with Office 365 as well. So in this scenario here, there's an on-premises search service and there's the Office 365 search service. So when the user issues a query, they will get a result block, much like we saw in the first instance, the first query, the first demo I showed you, with the result block of results coming from on-premises and the major set of results coming from Office 365. That's a scenario we can't avoid if we want to have these secure repositories of information that are only crawled on-premises and that the results or the index that contains those items only exists on-premises and can't be moved to Office 365. We'd like to think that most of you can go the full Office 365 experience. But it's just to let you know you can have both. In terms of customization, I mentioned already that one managed property. So we have this capability such that if you think about when you're crawling on premises, you're pushing content into Office 365. Most of you will have perhaps done customized search experiences, custom managed properties, crawl properties and managed properties, modified the parsing, perhaps even gone to the extent of modifying ranking models and things like that. If you've gone that far, this service, you have to rein all that back in, right? The customization here, think about what's happening. We crawl and we push to Office 365. We push to Office 365, all of the customization has to take place in Office 365. So the managed properties are only used in Office 365, and you must customize them at the tenant level, the search service in the tenant level. So you want to do new mappings, modify the refinement, that kind of thing, all has to be done up there. Things we can do, so custom iFilters, for example, we support them on premises. So I can have a custom iFilter that's going to crawl a custom document type, whatever it might be, you know, CAD documents, for example. That's installed on premises. The crawler respects that. It will still work. All of the metadata still gets pushed to Office 365. BCS connectors, partner connectors. One of the big things we did as part of the TAP program was engage with all of the big search connector vendors out there. I won't name them, but they're fairly well known. And we got them involved early on so they could validate their connectors and make sure they work. And if they didn't work, we could do a whole lot of partnership with them to make sure that when we actually release this feature, they have working capabilities. Things that we can't do, custom security trimming, right? It's quite a big deal. If you've got things like Documentum, perhaps some of the open text platforms, security trimming using non-Windows credentials can become quite important. We can't support that with this scenario because non-Windows credentials don't map to Azure AD. So as part of that process, those custom security trimming capabilities, we need to modify whatever you're connecting to and make sure that the mapping for the custom credentials is done before the crawl, or so at the point of crawl, so that we change those credentials to be Windows credentials. So even if I'm logged on with something else and I pick up a, let's say a very simple scenario, it's a SQL provider, and I pick up a username and password out of SQL, or I pick up a username out of SQL, I can't map that to Azure AD. I need to do that in the connector. So the connector has to be responsible for making that change. Then when it hits the content processor in Office 365, the representation of the user is a Windows credential. So that works just fine. When we go up to the cloud, so tenant level schema mappings, if I'm going to change my crawl properties and manage property mappings, I have to do that in the tenancy because that's where the crawl is now taking place. That's where the processing is taking place of that metadata of those crawl properties. Things like custom query rules and result sources all have to happen up in the cloud. So if you're familiar with SharePoint 2010 and the concept of scopes, now we have this concept of result sources. You need to make those changes in Office 365 because that's where the query is actually going to happen, okay? Not in on-premises anymore. Things that we don't support. So if I modify my search schema at the site collection level, okay, which some people do, if they have custom search centers and things, that is not supported in this scenario. There's no way for us to pick up those changes and modify the Office 365 tenancy from the site collections in Office 365. Obviously, custom security trimming we don't support, I've already said. Custom entity extraction as well. Is anyone actually using that feature? No? Custom entity extraction? Okay, so it's another thing we can't support with this capability. So the ability to extract items from documents, for example, and convert them to managed properties or promote them into managed properties. And then finally, content enrichment web services. We have no means of calling out to custom capabilities to be able to enhance the search. These are all things that require things like full trust code deployment. Steve's talk earlier today talked about why we don't allow full trust code in Office 365. You would need full trust code to make some of these features work. So we don't support that, so you're limited there. Maybe we'll have an answer for it in the future, but not today. Yep.
What about
managed
metadata?
So the question is, what about managed metadata? I'm going to throw that back and say, what about managed metadata? Okay. So the question is, if I have a document that's tagged with managed metadata field or a tag that's sourced from managed metadata, I guess the question is, does that appear in search or can I use that for search? And the answer is yes. Because when we crawl that content on premises, we pick up that tag as a string. Okay, we don't care what the source of that is. It's a string that's associated to the document, or is in that extra field, you know, the metadata field, and we just index it as a string. So you can query it, it works just fine. So you have this concept of this managed property, which is external content, and it's really useful. If I want to restrict or filter between on-premises content and Office 365 content, I need to use this as external content managed property to be able to do that. And it's very, very straightforward. You just tag it on, or you restrict your query to include this tag, and it can be either is or is not, and it allows you to filter between the two. Very useful for testing and very useful scenarios for things like creating search verticals. So in this scenario here, we've basically taken that SharePoint Online tag, which is the one we saw in the demo earlier. And SharePoint Online, the result source for that is modified to include not is external content one. So show me everything that's only internal in terms of internal to Office 365. And the result source that I come back, the results that come back will be Office 365 only. If we take it a step further, the everything vertical here, which is the one you have in Office 365 today, the one you have on premises today, has no restrictions on it. So it shows me everything. It shows me both on premises and Office 365. A sample of a custom one here would be an example of Contoso earlier that had this support repository. They might want to filter only on that support repository, in which case I can build an equivalent custom content here, a custom result source, where I'm adding additional and different filters to the result source. So I still have all of the power, all of the capability that I have in on-premises search in terms of user experience, in terms of customizing the user experience, but I can deliver it through this search service application as well. And it applies across the whole result set, not just the one or the other. A few things about frequently asked questions. So we did get a lot of questions asked by people, and this is probably one of the most useful slides in this deck in terms of if I'm thinking of implementing this feature. So we the concept of having an on-premises index footprint. Now, we think about what we do when we talk about indexes. If I want to have a simple, highly available search platform on-premises, we're talking about two index servers with 500 gigs of disk each. Okay, that's kind of the minimum footprint that we talk about. With this scenario, my indexers need no disk. I still have to have an indexer because I need one in the topology just to make the topology work, but it does no work. There's no footprint on disk. There's no on-premises disk. I don't need highly performant disk infrastructure to be able to support my indexers. There's nothing there. It doesn't do anything. On-premises crawl components. So one's fine. We recommend two for high availability, but the throughput of one is significant. And two, we only recommend two crawlers for anything up to 100 million items. So with two and high availability on two, you'll get plenty of throughput. Crawl databases are important, though. If you've done scaling design for SharePoint on-premises, when you're looking at the capacity of the search service application, crawl databases, we talk about one crawl database for every 20 million items. Those crawl databases will still be populated because we still need a mechanism to control the crawl, to know what we've crawled and to be able to look at things like crawl logs and crawl history. Other things that we send up there, so we talk about network requirements. So high bandwidth, low latency is critical. That's how you get the best performance. It's kind of standard networking mantra. In terms of what we transfer and what we encrypt, everything's encrypted. So don't worry about things going over the public internet. We encrypt the batch, and then we encrypt the traffic as well. So it's almost like a double encryption, if you like. Can we consume from 2010 to 2013? Yes. You can consume a 16 farm, can publish to 13, and it can publish to 10. Okay. Also, a 13 farm, if you're using the 13 version of the Cloud SSA, can be consumed from 16. Okay, so we can go the other way around, something we never previously supported. You can go minus one as well as and plus one in this scenario. In terms of crawl types and what we support, exactly the same as SharePoint 2013. File types, SharePoint 2007, 2010, 2013. But there's no code-based extensibility, as I already said. There's no feature for that at all in this version. Key thing about how can I get it then? So we've deployed it internally at Microsoft. You've seen it running in a demo briefly in my environment here. As of the 7th of September, it will be in public, complete, generally available as a public preview. So there's nothing for you to do. If you want to use this feature with your tenants, as of Monday next week, all of your tenancies are activated with this feature. Okay, or should I say all of the farms where your tenancies reside are able to consume this service. So you can either use a SharePoint 2013 farm if you have one on premises, even just a single server as a VM if you want to test it, deploy the August PU on it, and activate the feature. The scripts are available on MS Connect. You can just download them and run, and it's fine. That's exactly what I did to build these demos. It will also ship in SharePoint natively in SharePoint 16. It's GA at the moment. GA is in a kind of a preview mode. So while we're still anticipating user load, while we're still monitoring how much load we're going to get through this service, every tenant is restricted to a maximum of 2 million items crawled through this capability. When we go GA, we'll take the cap off, and there will be pretty much no limit. Okay, not promising no limit, okay, because that gets me in all kinds of trouble, but as close as we can get to be able to crawl as much as you like. Okay, you can punt as much as you like through there. It's already available. If you've downloaded the SharePoint 16 public preview from the Microsoft Download Center, the feature is already activated in that version. So you can use that out of the box today. It works very, very straightforward. With that, just to add some references, so TechNet, we have an entire hybrid configuration center on TechNet. As of Monday, that will be activated or uploaded with all of the new this new search feature as well. We have a blog series, part of the Escalation Services blog, which contains like a 12-part process on how to do very simple hybrid through query federation, through inbound, through outbound, through BCS, configuring with different reverse proxies, configuring all kinds of different scenarios. So it shows the first three parts there, but it goes on and on and on. And I think on Monday we're going to publish a 30-page blog for how to configure this search service application as well. But it doesn't need 30 pages of work. So with that, a couple of related sessions. So Elaine's session on Monday, get ready for SharePoint 16. She referred to this feature briefly in that session. Azure Infrastructure as a Service, I would just call out that because really we run all these services in Azure. So familiarity with Azure is, you know, certainly as a Microsoft employee, we're pushed constantly to get more and more familiarity with Azure. As the guys in the back are grinning there. And I would heartily suggest you do the same. And then the SharePoint deployment automation. So if you're looking at doing SharePoint configurations on premises or indeed in Azure, then Brian's session on simplifying deployment using desired state configuration is a very useful session to go see. So with that, I won't be in the hub on Wednesday because I can't time travel, but I will be there tonight and I'll be there on Friday as well if you want to hook up to see anything. So straight through that, finishing the resources off, TechNet Virtual Academy, very, very useful. We're about to put a hybrid, about a four-part series on hybrid on the Microsoft Virtual Academy, of which part three will be this similar session to this, showing how you build it, and part four will be a really super and critical session, which is how you troubleshoot it, okay, when things do go wrong. So with that, we're done. Appreciate your time, and if you've got any more questions, I'm happy to hang around all the way through lunch while I fix my demos. But okay, we're done. Thank you.